The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
We are set and ready for a brand new year as we look forward to the Sunday showdown between the Dallas Cowboys and the Giants in the winner-take-all game. And it is time to hit it real hard with former NFL and Husker great Jason Peter with our Under the Helmet segment. We have focused so much over the past few months on college football. We kind of want to change things up a little bit here in 2012. And let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys and the Giants. First of all, Jason, Happy New Year to you and your family. Are you ready for 2012?
I am. It was an exciting year, I think, 2011, certainly one that wasn't short on controversy, especially at the collegiate level, but a lot of great things happening, I think, in the sports world, especially, I think, in the NFL, and it's kind of been labeled the year of the quarterback in 2011, and I think people are looking forward to 2012 and expecting even bigger things from all athletes, I think. The stage just keeps getting bigger and bigger for these guys.
Well, it's funny, Jason, you say the word controversy. A little bit of controversy when we talk about the Dallas Cowboys. Let's kind of, you know, step back for a moment and a recap on the Cowboys-Eagles game on Christmas Eve. Jerry Jones paying a visit to the Cowboys sideline. You know, don't most owners stay in the suite during the game? You're a former NFL player. What did you think about that? I wanted you to weigh in on it.
I don't mind it. I really don't.
Really? Okay.
Because he is a football guy. I mean, he played. He played at Arkansas, and I don't know if he ever played in the league, but he's a guy who's been around football. That's different than, you know, the guy who made his money in the stock market, and now he's the owner of an NFL franchise. I do think that there has to be some kind of line where the owner, you just got to kind of be the owner, and then you let the players play and let the coaches coach, and the general manager's got to do his thing. But look, when you're the owner of the team, you're allowed to come down to the sidelines if you want. If you want to let your head coach know that, hey, I'm standing right here and I'm watching you and your job's on the line, or if I want to come down the sideline and let my quarterback know that I'm standing right here, I think he has that right. And I think people who know football and who know, I think, what Jerry Jones is about, that whole thing doesn't come as a surprise. I mean, I had the opportunity back in 1997, I guess, or would have been the early 1998, in the kind of the post-combine, pre-draft type of visits, where the Dallas Cowboys had flown me down for a couple days and wanted to interview me at a greater extent than what they had the chance to do at the combine. And I had an opportunity to sit down with Jerry Jones for about an hour, and we just BS'd a little bit, and it was a good conversation.
Yeah, and I'm curious, though, too. I mean, do you think that his approach perhaps could have been a little bit different? I mean, it was kind of an impromptu meeting. I just think of the head coach, Jason Garrett. It seems just a little bit demeaning, don't you think?
You're paying these guys a lot of money, and I don't know if it's any different than the CEO that's paying a certain guy $5 or $6 million to run a certain division of his company to show up at a big meeting where there's a huge $100 million deal on the line because he wants to see what his guy's doing. And I think when you're the owner and you're signing those checks, I think you do have that right to do as you please. And I think, you know, for the things that people sometimes question Jerry Jones for, they're also the things that kind of make him unique and make him great in a lot of ways as an owner in the NFL. I mean, you look at the stadium. I mean, you were just there. And I mean, it's enormous, but it's amazing at the same time. It's this guy who's saying the NFL is one of the biggest businesses in the world, and we need to make sure everybody knows it. And he's one of these guys that kind of ramrods the NFL into a certain vision, I think. And without those types of guys, I don't know where the NFL would be. I mean, you have a handful of those guys that I think are really, really important in the direction that the NFL goes. I think you talk about the Jerry Jones and Jerry Richardsons, who was my owner down in Carolina, and you know, the Kraft family, and there's a lot of other good owners that have, I think, a lot of football sense as well.
Well, you know, the media, the fans, everyone seems to be very critical of Jerry Jones, but it sounds like you kind of like him, and you were impressed with the time when you did come to Dallas and they had you come in, the time that you did spend with him, Jason.
He was a straight shooter with me. He sat across I sat across from his desk, and he said, give me an answer to the situation, and it was, practice is dead, and we're coming off a three-game losing streak. You're the captain. What are you going to do? What are you going to do to make sure that we get out of this streak? And how are you going to jumpstart things and get this baby rolling again? So it was somewhat nerve-wracking sitting across the table from Jerry Jones, because he is such a character that it's almost surreal when you're sitting there and this man is sitting across from you and he's interviewing you for a job, basically. But and I'm not saying every move that he makes is great. He almost, part of him lives by the any publicity is good publicity type deal, and I don't know if that's the case. I don't know if I necessarily agree with the owner coming out and saying his team is scared about losing and scared about this team or that team. There are some things that he's done, but you're not going to agree with every decision that any particular owner makes.
The Dallas Cowboys season will be decided on Sunday. That's right, on New Year's Day. The winner takes all, the battle for the NFC East title with the New York Giants. It's going to be a big, big game. And you have to share, Jason, we were talking before we went on air, you've got to share with all of our listeners, you got a little history with Jason Garrett, don't you?
Well, not only is he a Jersey guy, and his father lives and trains, actually, young kind of high school to small college athletes right here locally in New Jersey. But I know Jason Garrett. Well, he was a teammate of my brother's with the Giants, but he and Mike came into my life my rookie year in 1998, and it was the first sack that I had as an NFL player in Cowboys Stadium. And you know, it wasn't the guy I was hoping for. You were hoping that it was going to be number eight back there, Aikman. I believe I was kind of hoping that a first sack would come against a guy like that. But ultimately, in the NFL, you take them as you can get them. And I was happy to get that first one, especially in Cowboys Stadium. But Jason Garrett is actually the Garrett family is friendly with the Peter family, and they ate at my father's restaurant here in New Jersey for 20, 30 years. So there's a relationship there, and they're very, very good people.
Well, he seems like a likable guy. What's been your assessment so far as this is his first year being the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, Jason?
Yeah, I don't know if there's another job that has as much scrutiny as the Cowboys job. There's a reason they call it America's team. to not go over everything we just talked about with Jerry Jones, but, you know, that's another reason why it's a difficult job, because you have an owner that demands greatness. And you know, it was a tough situation, I think, for Jason. I don't want to talk about the situation like it's in the past, and he's going to be given his walking papers here at the end. But I mean, you got to think, when Wade Phillips is the head coach there, and the young coordinator who's just kind of been coaching for the last few years, he's getting paid, I think it was maybe equally as much as Wade Phillips, as the coordinator there and the head coach in waiting.
Rightly so. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a tough, I think, thing to manage when you have that situation there. And there were a lot of expectations, I think. You know, there was a time just a couple years ago when Jason Garrett was one of the hottest names in coaching. And he turned all those jobs down because he wanted the Cowboy job, and now he's got it. And you know, I think you could always look back and say, well, maybe I would have been better off in this job, or I would have been better off in that job. But ultimately, I think in order to be successful as a head coach, there's a lot of things that have to kind of come together. I mean, you're just talking about, you know, a dropped ball here and there, or a fumble here and there, and these are the things that decide the outcomes of NFL games. And you know, it's sometimes not as much fault and not as much blame as the coaches get when they win or when they lose, and they probably get too much credit when they win. But you know, look at Bill Belichick. I mean, you know, he didn't become this master genius in his first stint either as a head coach. It took him a few tries before he finally figured out what he wanted to do.
Well, the spotlight certainly will be on the Cowboys on Sunday, but you know, they don't have momentum going into this game. They've got an injured quarterback. What's your forecast? How do you think this is all going to turn out? It's not going to be easy playing on the road.
Well, you're going to get a biased opinion here, because if it wasn't for Carolina, and obviously the team that I went out and played for, and my loyalty to them, the next best thing, or the next closest team, maybe even more so to my heart than Carolina, is the New York Giants. Growing up in New Jersey, 40 minutes away from the Meadowlands, and
right.
Grandfather's got nosebleed seats. I mean, this was the team I used to look down and see Lawrence Taylor and you know, Phil Sims and OJ Anderson and Joe Morris and Harry Carson and then Carl Banks and all these guys, and this was my team. And I can tell you this much, that this crowd that they're going to have to play Sunday night at MetLife Stadium, it's hard for me to remember the actual name. I'm so used to just calling it the Meadowlands, but they don't call it that anymore. Maybe in my eyes, it will always be the Meadowlands, but I remember one playoff atmosphere when I was just back 2000, I think the year the Giants went to the Super Bowl, and I was injured, and I was back here, and I had the opportunity to see my brother, who was with the Giants at the time, play the Minnesota Vikings, and it was at Giants Stadium, and it was a playoff game, and this is going to be a playoff atmosphere. It was one of the most intimidating atmospheres that I've seen as a player, and it can be a crazy, crazy stadium. And I know the stadium has changed, but it's, for the most part, the same people that are sitting in those seats. And Dallas not only has to play against the New York Giants, but they're going to have to play against the fan base of the New York Giants, because there won't be a moment that those people aren't on their feet yelling and screaming. But, you know, in terms of the game plan, it's going to be tough. Because you know, the quarterback who sometimes I think struggles down towards the end of the season in years past, and now you're talking about a quarterback that's got an injured finger. on his throwing hand, I don't know how effective he's going to be. I don't know how effective he's going to be with that New York Giants pass rush coming at him. I mean, they get after the quarterback. They have a front four that are just going to come after you. And that's what they're going to try to do this weekend, is they're going to come after Tony Romo. And if he's not completely injured right now, they're going to try to get to that hand, that throwing hand, and watch guys that are coming from the backside, that Jason Pierre coming from that right defensive end position and going to be all over Romo's back, blindside, and going after that hand when he's got a cocked back. Dallas Cowboys are going to have their hands full this weekend.
Well, you just wonder how quickly Tony Romo will be able to recover. I mean, you know, his right hand was not fractured, but it was bruised, and he was, you know, grimacing. He was in a lot of pain. But come on, Jason, you got to give these Dallas Cowboys fans some hope. You know, what's it going to take for them to go into a hostile atmosphere and environment and perhaps walk away with a win?
Well, it's still football, and I don't care if it's high school or if it's college or if it's the NFL. When you go on the road, you pack your defense and you pack your special teams. And you also have to be able to run the football. And I know Dallas, with Romo as the quarterback, and maybe this is the best thing that happens to this offense, is that they know Romo's not 100%, and they know his hand isn't 100%. So maybe they lean a little bit more on the running game. If you want to take a crowd out of the game, you run the football on their defense. And that's what Dallas has to do. They have to have ball security. They cannot give Eli Manning and the offense any more opportunities than they already have. Turnovers, usually whichever team wins the turnover battle wins the game. And for Dallas, I really think they have to play almost a complete game here, a perfect game. I think they can't turn the ball over, and I think they have to be effective on the ground. And obviously then, you know, that will open up things through the air. But this is going to be a playoff game. This isn't a Dallas-New York game in the fourth week of the season, which, mind you, is usually more crazy than most other games, you know, at any point during the NFL season. I mean, you're talking about one of the greatest rivalries in the NFL. And now you've added the element that whichever team wins this game gets a home playoff game and wins the division. You're not going to get a more hectic, crazy atmosphere. It's going to be electric there, and it's going to be a great game, I think, for people to watch. But I think those are the things that Dallas has to do well. You have to be fundamentally strong in situations like this, and they're going to need some big plays. You don't win games in the NFL without having a few big plays over the course of a game. But those are the things I think they have to have go in their favor.
Jason, we are quickly running out of time. Got about 2 minutes as we get ready to wrap up this weekend on the Big E Sports Show, and it will be interesting to see how it all plays itself out. Jason, I do want you just quickly weigh in on the Rex Ryan situation and what happened last week between the Jets and the Giants.
I tell you, I went to my on my Twitter account even prior to that whole incident happening, and I was listening to Rex, and he was running his mouth, and I had sent out a tweet saying, "Man, is there anybody else that's just tired of this whole shtick that he's got going? This running his mouth and just, I'm better and my team's better and we're this and we're that." And I got tired of hearing it over and over and over again. And, you know, for people that talk like that, you better back it up. And he hasn't backed it up. He really hasn't. I mean, the first year was probably his best year. And people did make an argument that they just kind of, you know, got by the skin of their teeth. The ball really bounced their way that year. And, you know, now it really does, I think, you know, and Brandon Jacobs pointed this out in his post-game interview after the confrontation out down there on the field. He said in so many words, you're putting a bigger bullseye on your team than what they already have. And as much as, you know, you have to play the game, and maybe putting this kind of added pressure on my players will make them play that much harder, and, you know, whatever his state of mind is and his reasoning for doing it, you just don't need to poke the bear when you're doing that. And I say poke the bear in reference to really any NFL team, because you're talking about great, the best football players in the world. And for the most part, teams are balanced with the amount of talent that they have. It's usually a player here, a player there, a coach here, a coach there that kind of makes the difference. But for the most part, the NFL, it's the definition of parity. I mean, everybody can spend this much money, and you know, it's obviously some teams have different ways of getting players and setting up their team, but, you know, there's just no reason to add a bigger bullseye to your team than what's already on them every single Sunday, and which every NFL team has on their back in terms of a bullseye every single Sunday. But, you know, I'm tired of hearing it, and you know, it's become like a broken record, and it's just, you know, just shut up and coach.
Right, and it certainly, you know, provides those other teams with that extra motivation against them. So, well, Jason, listen, it is time to wrap it up this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Enjoy your New Year's weekend, and we look forward to catching up, okay?
All right, E, thanks for having me.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.